As I mentioned earlier, today our readings celebrate an event called the Transfiguration, this going up on the mountain where Jesus' face and clothing were transfigured in this dazzling, bright light. The odd quirk in the convergence of world history and the church calendar is that August 6th, which is the day we celebrate the Transfiguration, is also a very important date in human history. It happens to be the date when the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. The Transfiguration is seen by our tradition as a pivotal point in the ministry of Jesus, a time when he clearly understood and accepted what his human fate would be, knowing that it would further his spiritual mission in the cosmos. Hiroshima, of course, is a pivotal point in human history. As one author puts it, before August 6, 1945, mass destruction was achieved through the amalgamated repetition of micro-destruction. One sword swung, one gas chamber filled, one firebomb dropped, over and over and over. For the last couple of weeks, I've been referring back to some truths that were put forth by author and theologian Leo Tolstoy, and one of those truths he tells his character to go learn is what is not given to man. What is not given to us is the capacity to create a light so bright that it actually rules the world. What is not given to humankind is self-sufficiency and self-salvation. If we rely on a light that we can create, no matter how powerful it seems to our eyes, if we rely on our own light because we can create it and control it, we will never find in it peace and satisfaction. Karl Rahner describes this frustration as the insufficiency of everything attainable. Anything we can accomplish on our own will fail to save and satisfy us. So we have this story of the Transfiguration up on the mountain, and we have Peter sort of bumbling along like Peter does so often. You frequently hear things like in this gospel, he didn't know what he said. Poor guy, and we're named after him. His error, if it is an error, is his effort to turn an experience of God into something that can be captured in human control and in human terms. He wants to build booths to commemorate this experience. He's trying to make it so that we can control the light going forward instead of relying on inspiration from God. This passage also says to us, Moses and Elijah appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The word chosen here in the translation into English is accomplish. Jesus is going to his physical death. Would any of us consider such a feat to be an accomplishment? This contrast, this phrasing, shows us the difference between the light of God and the light we ourselves are capable of producing. There is a difference in what we can produce and what God produces for us. The passage says that they were terrified as they entered this cloud. And that makes me wonder, why does the light of God terrify us? What does God's light look like? It is very, very different from what we create as human beings. What we create as human beings is very often a power that can be used against our enemies. And yet, in Luke, we hear this. Jesus says, "But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return." This is not a route that will make you seem like a strong and self-reliant human being. And it was not a route that would make Jesus' disciples popular with religious authorities. We get into trouble when we try to create our own light, and we wreak a kind of destruction. When we claim God's authority, when we believe the light that we can create replaces or rivals the light God gives, we push others away from God. And I cannot imagine anything that would be more destructive than that. God's light gives us a freedom we cannot imagine and would never ask for, but the freedom that allows us to live in peace. David Foster Wallace once wrote about that kind of freedom. He said, "The really important kind of freedom involves attention and awareness and discipline and effort and being able truly to care about other people and to sacrifice for them over and over in myriad petty little ways every day." That is true freedom. When we are energized and driven and guided by the light of God instead of by our own light, we love our enemies. We sacrifice for other people. This transfiguration story has many, I think, meanings and many pieces of importance. But in part, it tells us that this is a light we have not seen before, and a light we are not capable of producing. It teaches us that Jesus is not just another exceptional human being or prophet or great teacher or an example, but is the representation of God on earth. The disciples would say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." As Christians, we must recognize that Jesus is the Christ, not just another teacher like Buddha or Muhammad. But we also have to take care not to reject other human beings, congratulating ourselves for finding the right light. The light is God. It is not ours. A man named David Brooks has written a wonderful little book called The Road to Character. And in it, he speaks about sins and about how the less obvious sins are often the most dangerous. One that he particularly warns against is triumphalism. If we believe that we are the ones with the proper belief and actions and accomplishments, we're in trouble. If we want to set up these three booths and capture and create and harness the power of the divine, we fall prey to this triumphalism. Claiming that the light we create rivals the light given by God is the most dangerous sin of all. We create Hiroshima, and we call it transfiguration. We have seen God's light. How is God's light different from ours? With Hiroshima, there was no reassurance from God that the power we had would be wisely used. The powers that we create can go badly, badly wrong. August 6th, a bomb fell on Hiroshima. A terrifying new light shone in human experience, capable of bringing death en masse. The face of human beings was transfigured. transfigured by divine light into a victory of God over the death of every individual one by one. Either way, we can think of August 6th as the day the world changed. Will the light change the world for evil or for good? It depends on which light we choose to honor. Amen.